This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Keeping the Faith, our guest today is Tim Maynard, Director of a Scout Executive for the Boy Scouts. I'm Becca Nieto, Program Director of the University YMCA, substituting for Steve Shoemaker. Today we're talking about the power of prevention, how groups like the Boy Scouts help prevent problems later on in life. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'd like to start off by just kind of talking about how long you've been involved in the Boy Scouts, sort of your personal history with them.
Well, I was a Boy Scout as a boy, and got to be a Life Scout. I didn't make it to Eagle, but got pretty darn close. And then went to college, and I have a degree in journalism and public relations, and got an opportunity after school to become a district executive up in St. Paul, Minnesota. So started my career there 22 years ago and have been moving around with the Boy Scouts since. My last assignment prior to being in Champaign was in Zanesville, Ohio, where I was a scout executive for 8 years. And then the executive board in Prairie Lands Council, which is headquartered here in Champaign, invited me to come and be their scout executive in 1997. So I've been here about 6.5 years.
Now, as scout executive, what are your responsibilities? How many area, how much area do you oversee?
Well, my responsibilities include the administration of Prairie Lands Council under the leadership of the volunteer executive board. So there's a board of community leaders in our service area who operate the council, if you will, but they hire me to administrate that, and so I'm responsible for scouting in 9 counties in central Illinois and western Indiana. We go from Piatt County to the east to Vermilion and Fountain counties in Indiana. So we have that entire area plus Iroquois County and to the north, and Douglas County to the south, and everything in between.
Now, do you have numbers in terms of how many Boy Scouts that entails?
Yeah, we obviously every year we're trying to bring more kids into the scouting program. The end of last year, we had served just over 7,200 kids in a variety of programs. Most people know about our Cub Scout program, which are the little guys in the blue shirts, mm-hmm. and who race the Pinewood Derby cars and all that, and then the Boy Scout program, which is our first program developed in 1910, and that's for boys in grades 6 or 12, and they're the ones who do all the camping and mm-hmm. the high adventure and go out to the mountains and all of that. We also have a program for young men and women in high school called Venture Scouts. That program started about 4 years ago and has really grown in popularity. There's a lot of girls out there who've been watching the Boy Scout program and want to be part of it, and so we made an opportunity for that to happen. And then we have a subsidiary program called Learning for Life, which has two programs in it. One is Exploring, which a lot of people have heard of. That's where we work with businesses or organizations a hospital to introduce kids to careers in, mm-hmm. in medicine and those kind of things. The other part of Learning for Life is an in-school program that we do in several school systems throughout the area.
And what do they do in there? Is this like an after-school type program? Or
no, it's actually during school, and we work with the teachers. We provide a curriculum. It's a values-based curriculum, which, you know, a lot of our school systems are looking for programs that provide some values-based training and education. And we have Learning for Life, which has a curriculum K through 12, though we ordinarily in most schools only work with one or two grade levels. But mm-hmm. It teaches ethics, it teaches preparing for the workforce. Talks about teamwork and the values that go with it and those kind of things. So we actually provide the curriculum and the training for the teachers to be able to put that program on in their schools.
So this is for both boys and girls?
Yes, the Learning for Life is for both boys and girls.
Do you approach the individuals in the school, or are you approached in terms of getting this started in a school?
Generally, we have contacted schools and offered them the program. We kind of were the leaders in values education in that back in the early 1990s, we were approaching schools about this program. Mm-hmm. And then in the late 90s, there was this outburst of variety of programs that schools could take advantage of. And so there's a lot of different programs out there now, but generally we approach the schools and see if it's something that we can provide for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know all these programs kind of lead to your role with the United Way and initiative that you and some other organizations are taking in becoming proactive organizations and sort of prevention-based organizations. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you see as the Boy Scouts' role?
Yeah, well, we've been a longtime member of the United Way in Champaign and Danville, and have a great relationship with both United Ways, they both continue to provide funding for scouting. However, their funding tends to lean, it has changed and moved towards more reactionary programs. Primarily, the United Ways today like to help us with our Scout Reach program. And mm-hmm. Scout Reach is our program for urban kids. We go into the urban community and work with the churches and those organizations to get scouting going in that area. And that's very labor intensive for us. We're used to going into schools and churches and volunteers stepping up and helping us run the program.
Sure.
But Scout Reach requires that we provide more direct leadership. And so the United Ways have selected to make that the program that they're really interested in helping us continuing and grow. The initiative that you were talking about earlier is because of that, and we see that throughout the not just our community but all the communities that organizations that are more preventative tend to be taken for granted is it may be the right word, it may not, but tend to be overlooked a little bit, because we all our human nature is to help those people who are hurting or those people who are in trouble,
mm-hmm.
and we all need to do that. But then at the same time, we tend to forget about those organizations like the Boy Scouts and the YMCA's mm-hmm. and the Girl Scouts and some of those organizations that are trying to prevent those kind of mm-hmm. problems in a young person's life. And so those groups and a few others have started talking about just kind of a friendly dialogue about the impact we have in the community
mm-hmm.
As preventative programs, and trying to make the community aware of the impact that scouting has or any of the other preventative type programs. So that the community can start thinking about, you know, what if we didn't have some of these organizations?
Mm-hmm.
How much worse would things
exactly.
be?
Exactly.
We hear so much about about kids in trouble or kids scrapes with the law or the schools. We hear about things that they're having problems, and we hear about that all the time, but we don't hear about the good kids,
mm-hmm.
and we don't hear about the kids who might be in trouble if it weren't for organizations like this group.
Exactly. I'd like to invite callers to ask questions or make comments. The phone number we can be reached here is 1-800-222-9455 or 333-9455 if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area. Again, we're with Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts. Now, in talking about Scout Reach, this sounds like a very interesting program. Now, when you go into these urban communities, are you just starting up troops? What types of programs are there?
At this point, we have tried to go with traditional scouting programs with a twist in mm-hmm. in trying to address the needs of the kids and the variety of cultures. It has been so fantastic to watch some of the programs that have gotten off the ground. Canaan Missionary Baptist Church has a fabulous program that has produced two or three Eagle Scouts. I'll tell you, there is nothing better than being at a celebration of an Eagle Scout at Canaan Baptist Missionary or Missionary Baptist Church, because that church is just behind scouting 100%, and mm-hmm. and it reminds me of what I'm in this business for. And so we're doing things like that in other communities, and we're able to get, by doing this, you know, we're able to get those kids out to our camp. Mm-hmm. Which a lot of these kids have never been out of a city block.
Mm-hmm.
So we get them to Camp Drake during the summer. We have a camp out during the course of the year where that's more local, but still a good opportunity for them to get some overnight camping. I mean, these kids this is so foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch and you see those kids developing into a new leadership role in among their peers
mm-hmm.
because they're able to do something that they never thought they could do. I mean, something as simple to us as passing a swim test at camp,
mm-hmm.
To these kids, their idea of being in a pool is running through a sprinkler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just haven't had those kind of opportunities. And so they just watch them grow and develop, and they're just excited.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited to be there.
Do you see plenty of opportunity for that in the nine counties? I know we might not be considered traditional urban in terms of the big city, but...
You're right. When we talk about the urban community, I always smile when I say urban because,
mm-hmm.
because you don't think of us as urban. But the Champaign-Urbana area, we have been very successful in getting that emphasis going to the point where the United Way helped us be able to hire a program aide a few months ago so that we could have an additional part-time staff person
mm-hmm.
who was working directly with these units to make them successful. We've had some success in the Rantoul area. Rantoul has a great need for this kind of thing. We work with a couple churches in that area. Danville, we're starting to scratch the surface there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of opportunity there. The other thing is we've primarily been focused on the African American community,
mm-hmm.
But we know that there's a Hispanic population mm-hmm. and an Asian population out there that would benefit from the scouting program. And what we've got to do is learn their culture and understand what they need.
Sure.
And that's what we're doing now, is starting to understand their needs so that scouting can be molded into the needs of those communities.
Mm-hmm. In terms of your involvement in the years that you've been involved with the Boy Scouts, have you seen the needs change of Boy Scouts? Have you seen or of the youth that you work with in terms of what the organization focuses on with preventative measures?
If I've seen anything change, it's that in the 20 years that I've been involved, the whole idea of kids at risk, I think, has in my mind has changed. At risk is a catchphrase that a lot of organizations use, and we could use for our Scout Reach programs. Say we're addressing the needs of kids at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm of the opinion of what I've seen in the last 20 years is that every kid is at risk
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the kids who are in the urban community have issues, but, you know, there's an awful lot of kids in, the wealthier subdivisions who are home alone
mm-hmm.
in the afternoon. You know, the liquor cabinet's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for them to do. I think we as a community need to address the the risk of all kids
mm-hmm.
instead of pinpointing one particular target market, if you will. I just think that kids today have a lot of free time on their hands and not as much supervision as they used to have. And so organizations like ours are important to all kids.
Mm-hmm.
And while we have an emphasis in Scout Reach and we have other markets that we're focusing on, I don't think we can forget all the other kids who are out there as well.
Exactly. I know you had mentioned you have a staff of seven, and but are your troops and are your a lot of your programs run by those individuals? Are they still run by volunteers, parents?
Yeah, we have a staff of seven professionals on
mm-hmm.
staff, and those are people who are college graduates who have been commissioned by the Boy Scouts of America to work as a professional in the Boy Scouts. And then we have some clerical staff as well. So we have a total staff of 11.
Mm-hmm.
The professional's job
mm-hmm.
is to organize new packs, troops, and crews where there is a need, and to work with the volunteers to do that. While there are seven of us, that we have 1,700 registered volunteers.
Oh my.
So we couldn't possibly,
mm-hmm.
as a dedicated and committed as the staff of Prairie Lands Council is, we
mm-hmm.
couldn't possibly do what those 1,700 volunteers are doing. All those troops have volunteer committees and volunteer scoutmasters or cubmasters. And I'll tell you, they work hard. I have the experience of being a Cub Scout dad for the first time
oh.
the last couple years. And so I've gotten to see the other side of the fence, so to speak, in the
mm-hmm.
last couple years and do my stint as a volunteer. And those people are very dedicated.
We have a call.
Do you want me to go forward?
Yes, please.
Yes. Hi. This is Dan Severs, and our sons were Boy Scouts, and I really recommend the program. My question is, are you still active? We now have grandkids, and I think probably that you're involved with that, too. They're not here, but is it nationwide is the question, or is it local, or what is it?
I work with the local council, Prairie Land Council, but the Boy Scouts certainly are still a strong national organization. We served over 4 million young people last year nationally. So wherever your grandsons are, there's a council that wants to serve them.
Okay. Do you still have a motto for the Boy Scouts? I know they do for the Girl Scouts, but I wondered if you did.
We have several oaths that and laws. If you remember, the Scout oath is, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." And the Scout law is, "A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent." And those are still what we say today.
Hey, wow. All I can say is bravo for that. And thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Do you do any work with the college community? Now, we're in a community area, in our college community area, and I didn't know if there's opportunities that present itself with that.
We do some. We have Alpha Phi Omega is a service fraternity on campus that in its infancy was I think started by the Boy Scouts, and we have about 100 members from Alpha Phi Omega who do an awful lot for us.
Mm-hmm.
They work with our Illini Jamboree, which is a big event we have every year, a variety of other things. That's our closest connection to the university,
mm-hmm.
other than we have several board members who are on faculty or staff
yeah.
at the university, and we get a lot of good advice from the university
mm-hmm.
Community.
Illini Jamboree sounds like a fun event. What does that entail?
That is a great event that started 2 years ago. we had an Eagle Scout who was working on an Eagle Scout candidate who was working on an Eagle Scout project, and he was researching something and found in the newspaper that 70 years ago, they had had a big event at Memorial Stadium during a Fighting Illini football game,
mm-hmm.
For Boy Scouts from all over the state. And so we decided to try to recreate that. And we ended up last year with 4,000 Boy Scouts from around the state, all camped at Chanute Air Force Base, and we bussed them down to the last year the Arkansas State Illini game,
mm-hmm.
and we filled the horseshoe, and then put 250 Boy Scouts on the field with American flags during the opening ceremony.
Oh, that's
and it was such a great event that. Within a week, the university wanted us back, Rantoul wanted us back, and the kids all wanted to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it again this year, and again, grew a little bit, had 4,200 or so kids there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a great event, and we'll be doing it again next year. The weekend of September 17th and 18th, and looking forward to that. But it is truly one of those volunteer-driven things. The staff never even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
It came from volunteers. Volunteers said, we can do this. And a group of really dedicated volunteers put it together and made it run as smooth as silk. So it's an exciting event to be at.
So is there room for growth if others want to become involved, other troops?
In the Illini Jamboree?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we haven't figured out where we could take up to 6,000 kids.
Oh, wow.
We have it all mapped out at Chanute. So.
Wonderful. We have another call just a moment.
Great.
Yes? Yes?
Oh, hello?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There was no pause there. I have a question. One of the reasons that we did not have our sons participate in scouting is that they are Native American, and there was a lot of misinformation that I perceived about Native American lifeways and lifestyles
mm-hmm.
in scouting. And recently, in fact, I met several young men who had been what I considered misinformed about Native people through scouting. You know, they
mm-hmm.
thought they knew something as a result of their scouting, but
mm-hmm.
they were mistaken. And I'm wondering, is there anything being done at the national level or anywhere to improve the approach that scouting takes to Native American history and culture and lifestyles? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a very good question. We do have a history of teaching Indian lore and Indian history, and we have a organization called the Order of the Arrow, which has a lot of Indian history-based part of its development. I don't know of any initiative to change what we have been informing people about, though I'm sure that if we are teaching young people or giving misinformation, which is the term you used, and I appreciate that. Certainly, I'd like to know more about that because I'd like to share that with our national organization. And perhaps there is something in development if that is something that is felt by the Native American community throughout the country, then there may be an initiative that is in the works. So I'd like to know more about that and certainly would share my phone number maybe later in the program if this interested woman would like to give me a call. I'd like to hear more about it.
Okay. Just a reminder that we have with us today Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts, and we have a caller. You have a question?
Hi, am I on?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been a lot of controversy about the Boy Scouts and gay orientation leaders and members as well, and I'd appreciate it if your guest would discuss that a little while.
Sure.
I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there has been a lot of media coverage over that over the last 3 years, and I think a lot of it has been not necessarily presenting the Boy Scout position very well. Obviously, this is a national a national issue that our national council is dealing with, but obviously we want to address it as well on the local level. I think the thing that hasn't been communicated very well by, frankly, by our national organization is that our position has simply been that the gay lifestyle is not consistent with the direction that or the programs that the Boy Scouts of America offer. We have some objectives and we have goals, and a lot of those are based in the traditional family. And so we have taken the position that gay leadership is not consistent with that. And so it's not like any other organization that has objectives and goals that they have that have leadership requirements. And so it's the position is simply that it's inconsistent with what we're trying to do. So we're going to maintain that standard of leadership in the future. This was upheld by the Supreme Court a few years ago, and so our national council has determined that that's the direction that we're going to continue to go.
Okay. If any other individuals have calls, we can be reached at 1-800-222-9455. Or if you're in the Champaign Urbana area, we can be reached at 333-9455. Again, we're with Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts. Other initiatives similar to Scout Reach that you have in the community right now, or that you're anything that you're doing to branch out into outreach into the community?
Well, I think we certainly continue to try to reach more and more kids through our traditional programs of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and some of those programs. We try to keep moving forward by attracting more and more kids to the program. And so our initiative is to offer a program that interests kids and families and brings them into the program.
Mm-hmm. Again, we have another call.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I have a question for the Boy Scout Executive.
Mm-hmm.
I see a number of Salvation Army people out at this time of year collecting money, and we hear about the YMCA, and we hear about Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. How are the Boy Scouts financially doing, and how do I contribute to the organization, to the Prairie Lands Council organization? I believe in the Scout Oath and Law, and would really like to support that.
Well, that's a great question. We have an annual campaign each year, as well as some special events, just like many not-for-profits. I'll tell you, like all not-for-profits, this year particularly has been difficult, and we are struggling right now to raise around $40,000 that we need to balance our budget at the end of the year. And so that is certainly we appreciate the support of the community, and the community always comes through for us. But we are like any other not-for-profit that has to raise the dollars. We don't get any national support. In fact, when you pay a registration fee to join the Boy Scouts, that all goes to support our national organization. So we have to raise our own dollars, and we certainly welcome the any community member that wants to make a contribution to us. Our address is P.O. Box 6267, Champaign, Illinois. 618-26-6267.
And the phone number?
The phone number is 217-356-7291.
Thank you. You're listening to Keeping the Faith on AM 580 WILL. This program is supported in part by the University YMCA. The University YMCA is the oldest continuous student organization at the University of Illinois. Since 1873, the University YMCA has been developing student leaders by providing opportunities for community service and social action. This week at the YMCA, we have our international film series, Real World, which is Friday, December 5th at 7:47 p.m. in Latzer Hall at the University YMCA, located at the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street in the center of campus. The film we'll be showing is the classic Black Orpheus, a film from Brazil. In addition, we are still looking for teachers to teach our community classes beginning next February. If you'd like to be an instructor of any course, we are open to course topics as well. Please call Nick Fleege, Director of Community at the University YMCA, with a proposal for a class. He can be reached at 337-1514. The Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation and co-sponsors Chabad of CU and Hillel, the Foundation for Jewish Campus Life in Sinai Temple, cordially invite the entire community to a two-day Israel fair. This fun, family-oriented cultural event will be held at 503 East John Street in Champaign on Wednesday, December 3rd from 2 to 8 p.m. and Thursday, December 4th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. The event promises music, film for adults and children, folk dancing, an interactive art center, a kids' corner, and items for sale made in the Holy Land, such as Judaica, jewelry, books, games, Dead Sea personal care products, posters, CDs, and videos. Israeli foods will be available at 6 p.m. for $5 per person or $10 per family on Wednesday, and $5 per person or free with UIUC student ID on Thursday. A special musical show will be performed at 6:30 p.m. both days. The fair features six Israelis who are part of a kibbutz program called Soul Train that tours small communities throughout the United States, Europe, and Latin America. For more information, please contact Lee Mahaldo at Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation at 367-9872 or Ruth Eckstein at 344-1328. Again, we are with Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Local Boy Scouts. And we're talking about the power of prevention and how groups like the Boy Scouts help prevent problems later on in life for our youth. Are there long-term goals that the Boy Scouts are discussing, a long-term vision, a strategic plan, or anything like that in the works right now, nationally or locally?
Locally, we're just about to finish a strategic plan that I think is going to be fantastic to give us a 5-year vision on where we want to go. We have been a council that over the last few years have had some excitement and things that popped up. We needed a new service center suddenly, and we addressed that issue and had some other things, but we really hadn't had much of a long-range vision on where we wanted to go. So for the past year and a half, a group of volunteers have been working on that plan, and we anticipate that plan will be approved in the next couple months by our executive board. Primarily, that plan will focus on reaching more kids through the scouting program, reaching more adults to be the leaders that we need. And we'll have a lot of emphasis on Camp Robert Drake, which is our camp property out near Oakwood. That's a great, great property where we serve about 1,500 scouts and leaders every summer during summer camp. We look forward to being able to do some things out there in the next few years to make it an even greater facility.
For individuals, I know as a recent college graduate, that's always on young adults' mind right now, that the job force isn't at peak. But sometimes insiders have better information. Nationally and locally, are the Boy Scouts hiring? Are they looking for individuals? Are they in need of individuals to help with their programs? Are there employment opportunities within the Boy Scouts?
Absolutely. We are always looking for sharp young people to come in and help us deliver the scouting program. We require a college degree to be commissioned as a professional in the Boy Scouts, but that is the only specific. I've known people who have zoology degrees. I've known people who have humanics degrees. So it really varies on what your interests are. But I think the primary thing is that you want to be of service to others and work with volunteers to make things happen. We have both male and female professionals throughout the movement, and so it's a great opportunity. You know, the one thing that a young person needs to understand going into the profession is that it's not a you don't settle down in one community and live there the next 45 years and work in one council. You tend to move around a lot, and
that's
so
right.
Your career path is 5 or 6 years and then packing up and moving on, and
mm-hmm.
and so that's the one thing. If you love that lifestyle, it's a great profession. If you don't like packing up and moving on, then it's not such a great profession. But certainly there's a lot of opportunity out there for young people who want to serve kids through scouting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been with the Boy Scouts here for 6 years. When you were in Ohio, was your role very similar? Was in terms of your responsibilities, the area you covered?
Right. I was the scout executive in Zanesville, Ohio for 8 years, and it was very similar. It's just a smaller council.
Mm-hmm.
And same responsibilities. Geographically, it was actually similar in size, but population-wise, it was smaller. I had a great, great experience there, but certainly grabbed the opportunity when
mm-hmm.
the executive board from Champaign and Urbana wanted to talk to me. And that's how you move up in the business, is to
mm-hmm.
go to other councils that are a little bigger and a few more challenges and things like that.
Are there always room if individuals want to start up troops in this area? Is there room for that? Do they contact you, or how does someone go about starting up a troop for a group of individuals here?
That's one of the things that makes the Boy Scouts of America unique from any other youth organization. Most youth organizations will have some kind of program, and they'll go to the local Methodist church, and they'll say, we've got this program, and we want to use your basement once a week to conduct it. And the Methodist church will say, that's, you know, part of what we do is reach out to the community. Sure, use our basement. The Boy Scouts, since the beginning, have done it differently. We go to an organization like the local Methodist Church, and we say, we have a program that we think is consistent with your goals and your objectives for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Scouting Program. And would your organization be interested in adopting the scouting program as part of what you do?
Mm-hmm.
So the scouting program, when a church or a veterans organization or whatever becomes what we call a charter organization,
mm-hmm.
they're chartered by the Boy Scouts of America to use the scouting program. It's kind of like a franchise.
Oh, okay.
And they then make that their own, and they provide the leadership for the unit.
Mm-hmm.
They provide the meeting place. Our job is to provide them with the training for the leaders and a camp facility that their units can use. We help them with recruiting efforts that needed and all of those things, but it's really their organization. So any church, any veterans organization, any community organization that wants to reach out to kids can use scouting in the way that they want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have the nuts and bolts of the program to use it. So that's really much different than most organizations.
Now, what are the different levels of, I know you had mentioned you got to Life Scout, and it starts with Cub Scout. How does the progression work?
Well, first grade boys and their adult partner can be in Tiger Cubs,
mm-hmm.
and that's a neat, fun year of working with young kids. It's Tiger Cubs is one of my favorite programs because I've seen so many 36-year-old dads and 7-year-old boys come together with absolutely nothing in common,
mm-hmm.
nothing to talk about, and they come together in Tiger Cubs, and it's just great to watch them because all of a sudden they click.
Sure.
And they get to know each other a little bit, and I think it's such an important age for kids. Cub Scouts is it's a more family-based program for boys in second grade through fifth grade, and they go through Wolf, Bear, and Weeblos and different ranks during the course of those years. And then in sixth grade, they go into the Boy Scout program, and that's that starts with Tenderfoot and then goes to second class, first class, Star Life, and then Eagle.
Okay.
Eagle being obviously the award that that boys strive for, though very few get it. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a great honor to become an Eagle Scout. It's a great challenge to become an Eagle Scout, but I always tell, I'm often asked to speak at Eagle Scout ceremonies, and
mm-hmm.
I always tell the kids, you know, that the community looks at you differently once
mm-hmm.
you're an Eagle Scout. And I tell them that future bosses in interviews will interview them differently, that the military looks at them differently, and someday their future father-in-law will
mm-hmm.
look at them differently. So it's a great, great honor to become an Eagle Scout. And then there are a variety of levels within the venturing program as well for young men and women.
Oh, yes. And a little bit about that program?
Venturing, again, is for young men and women. It is more high adventure-based. It's more outdoors, more focused on doing the bigger trips and those kind of things. But there's a Ranger Award and a Silver Award, and those are things that we don't have many of yet because it's so new, but more and more kids are catching on to that and wanting to be part of that. And,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeing a lot of organizations, churches, for instance, that have a struggling junior high and high school youth program
mm-hmm.
Are turning to us to help them by using the venturing program. So
I'd just like to reintroduce our guest, Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts. He's talking today about the power of prevention and how groups like the Scouts help prevent problems later on in life and information about the Boy Scouts of America. If you'd like to call in, if you're outside of the area, you can call at 1-800-222-9455. Or if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, we can be reached at 333-9455. Going back to prevention, and are there specific stories, specific instances that you can think of where it really has capitalized on how the Boy Scouts have impacted individuals' lives or things that you've seen and experienced in your time and tenure with them?
Well, there's lots of instances where I have seen the scouting program make a difference in a kid's life or in a family's life. A story that comes to mind is when we were in when I was in Zanesville, we were making a presentation to the United Way, and I asked this a young mother of two who was divorced to talk about her experiences as a scout leader, and she got into that room and started talking about before she was a scout leader, she would not talk in front of a crowd. She would not do any of that. She wasn't comfortable, even leaving the house much.
Mm-hmm.
And when her kids got into scouts, she reluctantly volunteered to be a co-leader and then became a den leader eventually, I mean, here she was talking to a panel of community leaders, and I'd tell you there wasn't a dry eye in the house by the time she was done, because it not only impacted her son's lives,
mm-hmm.
but it changed her life. And those were kids who, their dad was out of the picture now,
mm-hmm.
and mom wasn't comfortable even leaving the house. Those were kids who could have been in big trouble by the time they were in junior high or high school. And because of the scouting program, that wasn't going to happen.
That's wonderful. We have another call. Just a moment. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I just want to state I'm a Eagle Scout and Brotherhood member, Order of the Arrow. I've been registered in scouting for over 40 years. And in all honesty, I really see no reason at all for the Boy Scouts to discriminate against gays for any reason. I think what has happened here is that the National Boy Scout movement has been hijacked by a gang of right-wing fundamentalist rednecks down in Texas. And they are attempting to impose their agenda upon all the rest of us in the Boy Scouting movement. I think this is just outright bigotry. In my, you know, over 40 years of experience in the Scouts and having occupied almost every position of honor, trust, and leadership in the Boy Scouts, except being a Scoutmaster, which I did not have time for, I can say in all honesty, I see no reason whatsoever to discriminate against gays. People invoke this notion of the requirement of morally straight. Well, you know, if we were to apply that to everyone in Scout leadership who committed adultery or fornication, we would have no leadership at all. So let's be honest, what's going on here? We're just being bigoted against gays. And again, my experience, having been in Boy Scouts for over 40 years, I see no justification for it. And I'm not gay myself. I think at a minimum, the Prairie Land Scout Organization should at least de facto move over to a don't ask, don't tell policy like the military has. Now, if it's good enough for the military, I certainly don't see why the local Scout Council can't do the same. In other words, just say, fine, we're not going to ask, you don't tell us, and that's fine with us, we don't really care. Because other than that, again, I think the Boy Scouts then are simply treating bigotry to our children, which was not and has never been part of the Boy Scouts that I have been a member of for over 40 years. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. To your knowledge, how are different councils dealing with this issue? I know that it's been widely publicized, and are there different ways individuals and different councils are dealing with this? Or,
well, yeah, I think every council is dealing with it at a level that they need to, depending on the community and where they are. Certainly, our metropolitan councils have had to deal with it more so than some of our smaller councils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the things that the National Council hasn't communicated well, which your caller talked about, was what do we ask about sexual orientation? And the answer is we don't ask anything.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing on our application that asks whether you are gay or not. There is
mm-hmm.
there is nothing that says that you know, we don't ask that question. So really, we have, while it's perhaps unwritten or not well publicized, it's not a question that we're asking. We're not out checking everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes out publicly as a registered member of the Boy Scouts and announces, you know, publicly that they are gay, then we're in a position as a national as part of a national organization,
mm-hmm.
to ask them not to be a leader in the Boy Scouts. But up until that point, there's no search for within scouting or anyone who's registering.
What is the role of the different Scout executives in the National Council? Are you able to be involved in subsets of them, different committees, in terms of decision making and about all issues?
Well, the National Council is organized very similarly to the local council. There's a national executive board of community leaders from across the country who are elected to the board, and they determine the policies and procedures of the Boy Scouts. They hire a chief scout executive, just like our local board hires a scout executive. They hire a chief scout executive who supervises or administrates the national council. So this is truly volunteer from the top, all the way down to the local Cub Scout den. There's a structure, but professionally, there's only about 3,000 professionals in the whole country.
Oh.
Where there's, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of volunteers.
It is the Boy Scouts just in the United States, or does it have any international movements or branches?
There's an international scouting organization. There's scouting throughout the world, each country operates a little differently, but we're the Boy Scouts of America, and there's Boy Scouts of England and Boy Scouts of a variety of other countries. And like I said, and then there's a international scouting organization.
Just a reminder, we're with Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts. If you'd like to call in, you can call 1-800-222-9455. Or if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, we can be reached at 333-9455 for the next 6 to 7 minutes. Why do you feel it's such an important organization, and why do you feel that it is so beneficial to individuals to become involved in this type of organization, especially today?
Well, I think scouting offers an opportunity for young men and young women to develop some leadership skills that maybe they wouldn't get somewhere else. I mean, a lot of what our program is, especially in the junior high and high school levels, are youth-driven, youth-administered. We have a program. We have a scoutmaster. We have leaders. We have adults who are there. But the kids are the one who are determining what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And so planning a camp out becomes a boy adventure instead of being told, this is what we're going to do next week and bring your sleeping bag. They have to plan it. And they have to lead their others, their other scouts, their fellow scouts, in order to plan that camp out. When they're doing an Eagle project, they have to do it for the community. They can't do it for scouting. They have to do it for the community. And so they're learning what it is to be part of a community and to give to that community. And I think that the self-esteem that's developed, we have a scout ranch down in Prairie Lands Council does it. The National Council has a ranch down in New Mexico that's called Philmont Scout Ranch. Thousands and thousands of kids who go climb the mountains for 10 days down there. And the kid comes back completely changed when he goes to Philmont because he, self-esteem-wise, he's done something he never thought he could do. And so they grow and develop, and I think that offers something to not only the young man, but the community itself.
Wonderful. We have another caller. Caller?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi. I just wanted to expand a little bit on what the previous Eagle Scout said. I'm not an Eagle Scout. I do have a question, though, for you. It's not just the homosexual discrimination that's going on. There's also this fellow, Daryl Lambert, who was an Eagle Scout in the Seattle area, who was expelled from the Boy Scouts because he had declared himself to be an atheist. And my father actually sent his Eagle Scout medal back into the Boy Scouts of America and was not even acknowledged for his protest by the Boy Scouts. But he had a question which was never answered, and I'd like to see if you can answer that question for me. The question is, how can the Boy Scouts of America exclude someone for exercising so fundamental of American right and still call themselves the Boy Scouts of America? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, you're right in that we also have in our Scout Oath duty to God as one of the things that we as Scouts agree to do. It is the belief of the Boy Scouts of America that acknowledgement and understanding of a supreme being is important part of the development of a young person. We ask young people to acknowledge that there's a supreme being of some kind. We do not define that supreme being. We just ask that they acknowledge that there is a higher being than what we have. The reason we can do that is because we're a private organization. We're a 501c3 private organization who has the right to set those kind of standards, and that's what the Supreme Court agreed to a few years ago, that as a private organization, we can set the standards for leadership and membership within our organization. So legally, we are able to do that because we are not a public organization. You choose to be a member of the Boy Scouts, and you choose to do that based on what the membership and leadership standards are.
And another question? Another caller? Oh, they are no longer on the line. I have a final question, and that is that what do you see of the role of Boy Scouts in the community?
Oh, I think the role of the Boy Scouts is very important in the community. I think that that we can provide service to organizations throughout the community. There's a lot of people who depend on scouting for some of the Eagle projects that they do, some things that wouldn't happen in the community Eagle Scouts are doing. We as an organization try to conduct good turns for the community and do things that teach our kids to give back to the community. And we've been doing that for years through Scouting for Food and other things, and we'll continue to do that.
Thank you. Again, thanks, Tim. Thank you to Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts. Announcements, things that are going on at the University YMCA this week. This Friday at 7:47 p.m. on December 5th, we will have the classic film Black Orpheus from Brazil showing in Latzer Hall. We're still looking for teachers for our Communiversity classes. Those will begin in February, and you can contact Nick Fleege, director of our Communiversity courses, if you have a proposal for the class. He can be reached at 337-1514. And again, the Champaign-Urbanist Jewish Federation and co-sponsors Chabada CU, Hillel, the Foundation for Jewish Campus Life, and Sinai Temple cordially invite the entire community to a two-day Israel fair. This fun, family-oriented cultural event will be held at 503 East John Street in Champaign, Illinois on Wednesday, December 3rd from 2 to 8 p.m. and Thursday, December 4th from 11 to 8 p.m. The event promises music, film for adults and children, folk dancing, an interactive art center, a kids' corner, and items for sale made in the Holy Land, such as Judaica, jewelry, books, games, Dead Sea personal care products, posters, CDs, and videos. Israeli foods will be available at 6 p.m., $5 per person or $10 per family on Wednesday, and $5 per person or free with UIUC student ID on Thursday. A special musical show will be performed at 6:30 p.m. on both days. The fair features six Israelis who are part of a kibbutz program called Soul Train that tours small communities throughout the United States, Europe, and Latin America. I'd like to thank our guests for today, Tim Maynard, Scout Executive of the Prairie Lands Council of the Boy Scouts, for talking about the power of prevention and how groups like the Boy Scouts help prevent problems later on in life. And next week on December 7th, our Keeping the Faith, Reverend Alex Gierman of the Unitarian Universalist Church will be our guest. He will be talking about the debate on traditional religious language. Appreciate all who have listened in and called today. Again, I'm Becca Nieto, Program Director of the University YMCA, who has been substituting for our host, Steve Shoemaker. Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: AgriFab Incorporated, Sullivan, Colonial Pantry, Champaign, and Ray's Heating and Air Conditioning, Urbana. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Cosmologist Jen 11 feels cramped. 30 billion light years just isn't enough space for her. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we consider the universe beyond Einstein. Jen 11 tackles the shape and size of space. Also, we'll try to catch a gravity wave. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees and northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the lower 40s and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s and northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.
In Danielle's house, ever since she was a girl,